that's good singing. I don't care where you're from. All the way around, that's just good all the way. And all that. Did you preach at the nursing home today? You did? And all that. We'll be working on your sermon here, and I'll be letting you on that. Greg, can you have something done by Wednesday night? You can preach ahead of me Wednesday night. That is, if you don't hog all the time up. No, I'm just messing with you. The Lord gets on it, just rear back and let it rip. And then I'll follow up with something. How's that? Let me see if I can push his button on. All right? All right, that's a good job. How old are you now? 13? Boy, you're getting close to married age, ain't you, and all that. And the way things are moving right along. Take your Bible, if you will, please, the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 12. As we begin to look there in that chapter that's there, in Luke chapter number 12, the Bible says in about verse number 16, if you find the place and you're able to stand. The Bible says there, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Do you need something? Do you need something more than what you've got tonight, materially, monetarily, and so forth and on? I mean, all of us could use another $100 or so, couldn't we? Somebody thinking tonight, 100 nothing, I could use 10. He said, and he thought within himself, this is a man thinking, he's already got plenty. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. And he said, I will pull down my barns and I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my good. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thy fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again in the house of God. We thank you for the good songs of Zion. We ask you now that you'd give us that holy unction and anointing from on high. Speak to every heart that's here. There's one lost without God. May, Lord, you trouble them till they find peace with thee. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Here's a man tonight that every time that we talk about him, here's a guy that had plenty, and yet you'll find out he had already exceeded a place to be able to store all of his fruits and goods. And he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got so much and so forth and on that I'm going to have to tear down my barns and build greater barns and so forth. And he had a lot of plans for tomorrow. He's going to get more money. He's going to get more material. He was going to get more crops. He was going to store more things and all that business there. But you'll find that he had everything in this world that you could offer except the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have that. Not only that, but he was probably too busy for him. I can't tell you how many people in 50 years of ministry that are always too busy. Preacher, I'd come, but I got to do this and I got to do that. I've been here, there, and everywhere, and I'm just too busy right now, but maybe tomorrow. And yet the Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, out of all these years, I've never met anybody that wanted to die and go to hell. I've never met anybody that said, hey, preacher, I just hope that if you preach my funeral, you'll tell it like it is that I'm busting hell wide open. It don't happen that way. They want you to say something nice if you possibly can about them. I've had a few people, you know, that smelled with liquor, a few people, you know, that were on dope and this and that and another, and what they would do was is that they'd come through and they want you to eulogize whoever it is that's their loved one that died, and I'd like to be able to do so. Now, I can tell you this right here, I don't want to be like the old preacher, you know, that was up in the mountain. There was a person died, the biggest renegade, and liar, and cheater, and conniver, and crook that you ever seen in your life. He had a twin brother, and the twin brother went to the old preacher and said, hey, preacher, I want you to get up there and tell something nice about. I'd like you to get up there and talk about my brother being a saint. And he said, now, you know I can't do that. He said, I've got $1,000 if you can. He said, well, let me have it here, and I'll do the best I can. And he got up behind the pulpit there and began to preach, and he said, I want to tell you something. This guy here was a womanizer. He was a liar. He was a cheater. He's a conniver. And you talk about a sinner to who laid the chunk. But compared to his brother here, he's a saint. That's what you ought to get out of it. I got to say to you that, if you will, that in this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out Jesus there is preaching about heaven. He's preaching about hell. He's preaching about, don't be afraid of them that kill the body and after that's all they can do. Be afraid of them that after the body's been killed and cast your soul into hell. You read the first part of that chapter and that's what he's talking about. This Bible said that when you begin to look into that, is that you'll find out it's going to take the Holy Ghost of God to be able to get a hold of your heart and open up your eye and show you yourself like God sees you. Now, I don't know. There's some good people here tonight, and there's some of you. It would not do to tell where God brought you from and where you would have been had it not been for the grace of God. Boy, isn't it good, though, that God's forgiven all of that and that he's thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness and that yesterday's gone forever while tomorrow may never come. God is in the business right now being able to do something for your soul. This man thought somehow or another that he was going to live for many years. He had a good billfold. He had a big barn. He had everything that you could ever want. Had banqueting houses and rooms and things, and no doubt he was just having a good time. He just had everything that you could mention except God. And I want to tell you something, is that as I stand before you tonight, if I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell right now, and you'd be there with me too. I'm glad that by the grace of God, it doesn't have to be so. Now, you know, probably I'm one of the cleanest people you'd ever met in your life. My wife and I went together for 2 years, never had sex outside of marriage. My wife and I, you'll find out, of course, I was a young man. If I were, she wasn't but 14. I didn't know anything about none of that stuff and statutory this or that and rape and all that business there. I've been preaching plenty on it and telling and warning young people about it now. But I just said all that to be able to say this, is that my wife and I, we don't drink and all that. We didn't shoot up dope, don't do any of that. But I would have went just as straight to a devil's hell as the worst drunkard, as the worst dope head. You see, there's none good, no, not one, the Bible says. Until you see yourself like that, you'll never get in. I begin to think about, you know, that as I bring these boys and girls and these children and they sing, and I like to hear them sing. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, is I'd rather have them up here singing for Jesus and being able to testify in the name of the Lord. And let me tell you, God bless you parents for bringing your children down to the house of God to hear the word of the Lord. I had somebody tell me one time, said, well, you know, preacher, is that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. No, but if you'll tie him close enough to the water hole, he'll get thirsty sooner or later, and then he's going to want to drink. And it'd be good if he could drink from the waters of life that flow from Emmanuel. And I'll tell you something, is that make no mistake about it, you can be washed by the blood and born into the family of God. Don't lose your thought there, but turn over there in chapter number 16 in the book of Luke. And here's a man at about verse number 19. There was a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen, fare sumptuously every day. Could you just hear the people talking about him? Oh, man, listen, look how brilliantly he looks. Look how nice that he is. Look at the finery and the clothes and this and that he's got. And I'm going to tell you something. He put himself in a good frame of mind. In verse number 19, that's what it means. He says he fared sumptuously every day. And the word fared means to put himself in a good frame of mind. And that's exactly what he was doing. You know what he was, don't you? He's one of these positive thinkers. See, in the day we live in, and nobody wants you to say anything negative. They want you to say something that's good and something that's positive somehow or another, and make people feel good about themselves like they are without the need to repent. In the lesson that we're looking at, you find, and here's what you'll say, is that sometime I had a man here a while back said, man, I've listened to two or three of them sermons in there. Do you have anybody shows up at all to listen to that? I said, I have a lot come through and go the other side. But I'll tell you what, I'm looking for somebody that's real and believes God and just not going through a religious motion. I'm looking for somebody that wants the righteousness of God to change their heart and their life and their children on top of that. Now, I got to say to you, and make no mistake about it, just stop and think about it right here, Mama. If you don't care enough about your kids to bring them to the house of God, who's going to? Let me say something to you, daddies. If you don't care enough about your family to be able to come to the house of God with them, who in the name of God's going to? I got to tell you, we live in a world that's lost and undone, that's hell-bent, hell-bound, if you will, please. And I'm not glad of that. I'm just trying to sound the warning that things are not all right in the world that we're living in. in this Bible lesson, this Bible says over there in the book of Luke that this man, he was a man that was a rich man, fared sumptuously every day. And the Bible said there was a certain beggar named Lazarus with lay at his gate full of sores. Now everybody knows the story of Lazarus. And the Bible said there, and no doubt the reason why God had him laying there to preach to that rich man every day as he went in and went out. Oh yeah, he was begging for just a morsel that fell from the rich man's table, and the dogs were there licking his wounds, licking his sores, and all that business there. But I want to tell you, there finally came a day that when the sermon was sent in, God's not going to preach to the rich man by preaching through Lazarus any longer. And as a result of that, their time has come up, and they both of them died. And Lazarus went to heaven and was in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died and was in hell, and he lifted up his eyes being in torments. And he said, so would you send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue? I'm tormented in this flame. And the Bible says over there in the same chapter that you're looking at, in verse number 25, but Abraham said, son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. And he said, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. Now I want you to watch that. You know, part of the torment of hell is not only the weeping, the wailing, the gnashing of teeth, the endless falling, the blackness and darkness forever. But part of it is remembering back on their lifetime when they said no to God and no to the word of the Lord and yes to the world and the flesh and the devil, and as a result they died without hope. Now notice what he says. And beside all this, betwixt us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they would pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us which would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Now watch this here. For I've got five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Now I'm going to tell you, you may die without the Lord, and if you do, you'll go to a devil's hell. But that's not the will of God or the mind of God for you. I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that if you die and leave this world and you leave some family behind, you're going to want somebody somewhere to talk to them and tell them about the gospel saving message of Jesus Christ. Now in verse number 30, as we get ready to close, and he said, nay, but Father Abraham, if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Now here's what he's saying in essence, is that if they don't believe the preaching of the word of the Lord, they wouldn't believe anybody that came from the dead. What if somebody that you and I knew came back from the dead and say, well, I want to tell you, don't go down out of that place. You'd think they were nuts. And, of course, one of the reasons why is because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. But let me tell you, there is one that did go, and the Bible said there is one that died, that bowed his head, said it's finished. And let me tell you that he rose victoriously from the grave. And let me tell you, if you're not believe the word of the Lord and what he said about getting saved and trusting God, you won't believe one though he rose from the dead. I don't know about you, but when I pillow my head at night, I'm troubled about a few things. But I'm never troubled about if I don't wake up here where I'm going to wake up at. I was talking about, and I certainly, you know, I certainly will not do anybody but this way, but I can just tell you, is that one of these days I'm going to say goodbye to you for the last time. And I'm going to be absent from this body and present with the Lord. Now, make no mistake about it, when that day comes, I realize it is that it'll be a time of sadness for some. It'll be a time of gladness for many. But I don't care if you're sad, mad, or glad. It won't matter to me, not. Old Brother Seitler said, if you come to where I'm buried, jump up and down on my grave if you want to. That's what I'm going to be doing. Now, you and I can realize and know that here we have to keep on keeping on. And by the grace of God that has been bestowed upon us, we're allowed to do so. But I want to tell you the reason why the Lord has not come as yet tonight. Somebody, somewhere, is yet to be saved. I can name a whole bunch of them in the Democratic Party that I know beyond a doubt. But I can also name a bunch of them in the Republican Party that no doubt need the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. I got to say to you that if you will, please, is that you're either going to be like this man who once had a barn full and died bankrupt in his soul. Or either you've been able to trust the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. I got to tell you, one of these days, he's going to call me, and if you're saved, he's going to call you up, and he's going to call you out. And to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's just the way that it is. I wonder tonight, do you know Jesus in the free pardon of sin? Has God been knocking and tugging at your heartstring, your heart door? This would be a good time for you to make that known as we get ready to pray. Our song director comes, our musicians, and as we get ready tonight, maybe you're saying, "Preacher, God's been knocking on my heart's door for a while. I'm ready to trust the Lord with all of my heart, my soul, and mind, and I want to make it known." Maybe here you're thinking about, "Preacher, I've got some things that on my heart that's a heavy burden. I'd like to lay it at the altar." This would be a good time for you to be able to do so. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon this sermon. And I pray that somehow or another that, Lord, you'd finish it in every heart. You know every need we have. You know everybody that's here. And Lord, we want to say thank you that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, bless, I pray, the remainder of this service. And we'll thank you in advance for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is that?